You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to another episode of Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and I'm joined today by my co-host, my friend and my colleague, Jennifer Overstreet. Hello, Jen.
Hey, Bill.
How are you?
I'm great.
What are we talking about today?
The future of retail.
The future of retail. Mm-hmm. Who has the crystal ball? That's what you would need. This industry changes at a pace that I don't think there's another industry which could change at the rate that retail changes. So looking to the future, I guess we've got to talk a little bit about the present and the past as well.
Yep.
We're really fortunate today to be joined by Susan Retta. Susan is the editor of Stores Magazine. Hello, Susan.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm great. So, Susan, take out the crystal ball. I think that when you look forward, you have to kind of look back a little. 2017, was it a good year for retail? And is that wave going to continue into next year? Give us some thoughts about that.
Absolutely. You know, I think 2017 was a really interesting year for retail. I would call it probably one of the most transformative periods of retail that I have seen in decades, and I've been going at this for decades. But what I do really think is that, you know, we're seeing that that retailers that are very nimble are really doing well in this space. I think that so much of 2017 was about big headlines in retail. The biggest headline was Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods. And it was a very transformative headline for our industry. The other headline that kept coming up over and over again in 2017 was this idea of a retail apocalypse. And that headline was just completely false.
You mean retail's not dead?
Our industry, excuse me, go ahead.
I said, you mean retail's not dead or dying?
No. Retail is absolutely not dead. It's not collapsing. It's not vanishing. It's alive and well. And again, in the middle of this transformation. And we're really moving toward a brighter future because companies are embracing new ways of doing business. They're re-engineering how they connect with customers. We're seeing them blend physical and digital experiences. They're deploying new technologies. They're testing alternative payment options and creating experiences that consumers are returning for again and again. So every industry goes through a period of tremendous change. It's what you come out the other end looking like that's important. And we're looking like a really strong industry going forward.
So, Susan, let's talk a little bit about that going forward. Looking into your crystal ball, what do you see happening in 2018?
You know, I think that thinking about that blend of physical and digital is really important. So, you know, if I was going to make a prediction, and I've made a few in my day, I would say that we're going to see physical retail stores and digital retail companies hook up a little more often. Digital needs physical, physical needs digital, and the two can peacefully coexist, no doubt about that. But the power of combining the two is absolutely unassailable. So Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods is a perfect example of that. Buying Whole Foods opens the door for Amazon to attract more premium food vendors and to really augment their local delivery distribution with some like 460 stores in upscale and suburban locations. And all of that is transpiring at a time when the grocery delivery wars are really at a fever pitch. And then we've seen it continue, you know, on either side of the digital physical equation. So Albertsons purchased Plated, Signet Jewelers, and JamesAllen.com put a ring on it, if you will. And of course, Walmart. I mean, Walmart is flexing its physical store muscle to grow digital sales. So, you know, less known are acquisitions of Mod Cloth and Moose Jaw Mountaineering and ShoeBuy, but then they acquired Jet.com and Bonobos, and doing those things gave them a greater stake in the digital marketplace. It gave them entree into higher margin categories, access to more affluent shoppers, and, you know, they're able to leverage their portfolio of stores as pickup destinations. It's going to be a tremendously important trend going forward. They need each other, and retail is not about physical and online. It's retail. It's all retail.
I would think that a big part of this is just responding to consumer demand. The consumers are changing. They want to shop anywhere, anytime, and they want the price point that they're willing to pay. And so it seems to me that these successful retailers, whether they're both physical online or e-commerce just specifically or physical stores specifically, it really is trying to determine what that consumer wants. Do you see that?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think for a retailer today, if you're thinking about your consumer, and if you're successful as a retailer, the consumer is number one in your mind at all times. It's how do I meet them where they are? And so they really, you know, I don't envy retailers because they've got to dabble in every single area of the business, and they have to be strong in every single area, recognizing that sometimes the customer is going to feel comfortable shopping online, sometimes they're going to feel comfortable researching online, and then they want to come in the store and touch it and feel it, and sometimes a growing number of them are going to research, and then, oh, by the way, they're going to ask Alexa, Alexa, can you send me, because that's what they want to make their lives easier. Consumers are all about convenience, but they also want to shop. There's no change in the amount of desire consumers have for goods. It's just a matter of serving them wherever they're most comfortable being served.
Susan, I wanted to ask you a little bit about, like, the digital players we've seen who started online who are starting to open stores. It seems like the role of stores is changing as well. And I wondered if you could talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing in terms of what is the role that the store is playing and what do you see going forward? What are some of the trends that you've had your eye on?
Hey, Susan, before you answer that, would you throw in there, I mean, we constantly hear about this desire to or this need to provide an experience. What exactly does that mean? So in you know, with Jen's question, kind of throw that in.
Okay, there are two components here, and actually, interestingly, you've both hit on predictions that I might make for 2018. And one of the predictions for 2018 is that retailers need to be more cognizant of the idea of, I'll call it a minimalist approach to selling, and by that I mean the consumer likes to shop. They also like to get in and out. In a lot of instances, they want to get in and out quickly, and they're willing to accept what, for lack of a better word, we'll call a showroom environment, a showroom, a web room, a guide shop. So just last month, Nordstrom debuted Nordstrom Local. They don't have any inventory on hand. The store, which is a much, much smaller footprint than a traditional Nordstrom department store, has a stylist, and it allows shoppers to buy online when they're in the store, to pick up those orders the same day, have alterations, do tailoring. And, oh, by the way, they can also have a glass of wine, and they could choose to have a manicure done. I think that is something that a changing consumer is gravitating toward. We're also seeing that with folks like Jen, you mentioned some of the pure plays. Warby Parker has allowed the consumer to come in, see, touch, try on, and then order the product, and it's sent to your home. Bonobos does the same thing with their guide shops. You walk in, you can try on, they'll measure you, they'll fit you, and then the next day, that product will be on your doorstep. Of course, the beauty of that for Bonobos is that they're capturing all that data, so they know you. But they're also, by doing that, effectively getting rid of online apparel returns, which is actually continues to be a huge problem for selling apparel online in particular. So while that sort of showroom approach is not for everyone, I do think that a growing number of customers who experience it and then get the product the next day are actually really pleased with that. Oh, they get me, you know? And to your point, Bill, that can dovetail with the experience. So you've got a retailer like M. Jemmy, which is a luxury shoe retailer. They only have a handful of stores. But if you go in there, you're exploring their product collection, you're seeing the colors, you're trying on for fit. They're capturing, again, all of your data through a clienteling app. And while you're there, you could actually learn a little bit of Italian, if you can believe it. You can enjoy a glass of Prosecco, and you can sit on the couch and relax. And when you leave, I'm pretty sure you're going to have a really good feeling about M. Jemmy. And when the product arrives a few days later and you put it on and it fits, and the experience just rolls back in your mind as being all positive. And I think that is where retail needs to think about. Again, you know, I think that Nordstrom Local was kind of a watershed moment because Nordstrom is not walking away from their traditional department store business. They're not changing their online business, but they're saying, we recognize that there's a consumer who really liked this experience too. So let's deliver it and let's see what we learn.
You know, a lot of what we hear about and a lot of what we see at our conferences, our programs, and a lot of our speakers focus on is the technology, the changing technologies, AI, AR, virtual reality, all of these different experiences that people can have through new technology. Is that being accepted widely within the retail industry?
You know, I think it is. And I think particularly of the three, you know, we hear about augmented reality, virtual reality, and then the love child, which is mixed reality. But of those three, augmented reality is really taking root. And part of the reason it's taking root is because it's simple. And while consumers think of themselves as very tech-savvy, we don't want to necessarily put a headset on, and we don't find that, or most of us don't find that, a comfortable way to shop. I may be speaking from age, but most of us don't find that comfortable. But with AR, when you can virtually try on a lipstick, that's fun. And oh, by the way, it aids the buying decision. When you can take a photograph of your living room and then, you know, grab that couch you've been looking for on, you know, Design Within Reach and place it in your own living room and see, does it fit? Does the style work? Will the color work? That's a fun way to shop. And again, it allows the consumer to make a really informed purchasing decision. So augmented reality is really a growing piece. And in fact, we had a statistic recently that Gartner has predicted that 100 million shoppers will shop via AR by 2020. 2020 is not that far off. So I think that that's going to be an important tool. Virtual reality for retailers can be used more on the back end. So they might be able to use it to look at a store layout. They could use it to reinvent store shelves, look at a store shelf and say, no, we want to move it here, we want to do that. And you can do that using virtual reality. So I see it more on the back end, and it continues to have value. And then mixed reality, well, I'm still trying to get my arms around exactly what that is, but it uses a lot of sensors. It uses advanced optics and next-gen computing power, but it maps sort of that real and virtual world, and it allows the user to produce an environment where they can drop in physical and digital objects and they'll coexist. Somebody explained to me that you'll be able to create a mannequin of your body type and shape, and then as you shop, you can take the apparel that you're interested in and dress your mannequin and see how it would look. personally, I don't think I would ever buy another thing if I could do that. But whatever.
I don't like looking at myself. I don't want to look at myself as a mannequin.
Some of these things just sound so...
I'm old enough to remember Second Life. Remember that? That when I created my own avatar at that point, she looked a whole lot sexier than the real Susan.
Well, mine would be a lot skinnier, I can tell you that.
Exactly. There you go.
Talking about all this technology, it's so interesting to me that when we're talking about store in-store experiences versus the home shopping experience, like the digital aspect is so important and the tech piece is so important. But when we start talking about all the things that are possible, it's so funny because I just feel so turned off by that. And so for me, when I go into a store, the experience is a lot about the people. So it's kind of about that blend of how you're using technology to aid that experience, but not overwhelm the great experience of going into store and having amazing customer service by the people who are working in the store associates. Susan, how do you see that being blended? How are retailers sort of blending that experience and still emphasizing that what it means to go shopping? Because a lot of this like super high tech showrooming concept, it sounds old timey, right? Like you used to go and pick out a dress and they'd tailor it for you and you'd wait a few days and then they'd deliver it to your door. Like that's an old experience. How are they making these things new and how are they blending?
That is a great question.
That is a great question. You know, I think it's about context, and I think each retailer has to look at that very individually and understand what is technology and what is experience against the backdrop of what I do best. So when I enter Eataly, I could have a restaurant experience, but if I'm shopping in there, it's a sensory experience. It has to be. And it's quite different from a supermarket to an Eataly. Also, when you're in an Eataly, particularly I'm thinking of the one in downtown New York, the second you walk in, you could actually have a glass of wine, and you can walk around with your basket and your glass of wine. It makes sense in the context of what they're doing. We think about the announcement that Disney made when at our shop.org event a few months back. They told us they're going to begin to live stream their parades into the stores. So Disney was always a pioneer on the experience front, and they always made it fun to shop in their stores. Now they're going to live stream those parades, and kids and the parents who are shopping with them are going to want to stand there and take that in and enjoy that experience. I just think that as retailers look at how to use technology in their store to engage the customer, it has to make sense for the customer they're talking to. And I so agree with you that I'm actually turned off if somebody is not talking to me but is holding a device in their hand and just inputting data. You know, when I have experienced shopping at Bonobos, their associates are quite friendly, and they're about showing you the product that they have in the store and taking your measurements and finding out what works best for you is something that's happening that you're kind of not even realizing is they're capturing your information, because you're having a one-to-one experience with somebody who's fitting you and making sure you'll feel good about what you're purchasing when it arrives on your doorstep. I thought it was a really interesting one that came up last week. Tiffany has announced that they'll open a cafe in their legendary flagship. So in the near future, we'll actually be able to have breakfast at Tiffany. And I'm pretty excited about that. But to your point, I think using technology to drive home your sales without making it a blatant, forced kind of experience is important.
Well, Susan, we are fascinated by this, and I'm sure that we'll have many more opportunities to kind of look down the road at what's coming up for retail and what consumers can expect. But if I wanted to learn more, where would I go on the web?
You would go to Stores Magazine. You would read our December issue. I have made 8 solid predictions about 2018, and then, of course, because I can't stop there, I've thrown in a few extras, so Sure. Go to the December issue of Stores. We're online, and we have a print edition. And you can always chat with us online, and we'd love to learn more about what everybody else thinks will happen in 2018.
That sounds fantastic. Now, you're going to be on the receiving end of this last part of our program, which is known as Rapid Fire. Are you ready?
No.
All right.
Let's go anyway.
Let's get ready. All right. So, what other job would you do if not this one?
I'm sorry. What other job would I do?
Mm-hmm.
I would be a chef.
What is your favorite app on your phone?
Cole Haan.
Do you put your receipt in the bag or do you put it in your wallet?
I ask for the receipt to be sent to me by email.
I do too. What is your favorite thing to shop for, Susan?
Food.
This is the chef, Susan. Last thing you geeked out about?
I lost the question. Say it again.
What is the last thing you geeked out about?
I don't have an answer for that. I don't know.
Yay.
I'm not geeky
at
all.
What about the weirdest story of the year?
You know, I think some of the stories about strange bedfellows are weird. And we just heard one recently about Lord & Taylor and Walmart. They're going to join forces, and you'll be able to buy some Lord & Taylor items on the Walmart.com website. I say more power to them both, but I think it's a little odd.
That is very, very, very interesting. Well, Susan, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you
for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been very, very insightful. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Subscribe to the show and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher. Once again, Jen, it's been great.
Enjoyed it.
And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.